Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, February 24th. In ongoing coverage of a story originally aired on KVNF last week, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is accusing Republican State Senator Ray Scott of defamation and is threatening to sue him for a tweet he sent calling his hometown newspaper fake news. If filed, legal experts say it would be the first lawsuit of its kind, potentially setting a legal definition for what is considered fake news and what is not. Benta Berkland spoke with Scott about the case.
I first want to give some background about how we got here. Earlier this month, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel wrote an opinion column supporting a bipartisan measure to modernize open records in Colorado to include digital information. The bill was scheduled to be heard in your committee, and you delayed the hearing. The implication from the column was that you opposed the bill and thus postponed things. You disagreed with that characterization and sent what you refer to as the tweet heard around the world.
That's true. I mean, you've pretty much nailed it. I would disagree with you just a little bit that it was an editorial. These things in this particular paper tend to be in the middle of the newspaper and they're news.
Were you surprised this garnered as much attention as it did?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea this kind of attention would come to this off of just a simple statement that has pretty much been very commonplace with the media right now. So I'm very surprised.
You said the term fake news is in the eye of the beholder. What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's nicer than saying somebody lied, right? I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking in my head at the time. You don't want to say something too inappropriate. And again, it's just a phrase. It had really no teeth to it as far as, you know, saying somebody actually lied. You know, I could have said a lot stronger words, but I just chose to use fake news.
Was it a tweet that you spent much time thinking about, or were you just annoyed and angry with this column and you felt like they got it wrong and just sent something out?
There's so much pressure between the media outlets and legislators and the new president, the Congress. We get a lot of pounding, if you will, and, you know, you're still a human being, right? So you do respond. I have constituents that believe I should respond. They don't want me to cower down and never say a word. So
critics, including the Sentinel publisher Jay Seaton, argue that your tweet delegitimizes a reputable newspaper and that you're essentially calling something fake because you don't agree with it. Why not use a different word?
Again, it kind of goes to the whole point. I mean, you can look at the editorial, the news piece, whatever somebody wants to call it. They're kind of saying the same thing about me without having any background. Calling me out, if you will, on a particular bill when they have absolutely no knowledge of the bill. Their use of words insinuated that I was doing something inappropriate with the bill. My response back was insinuating that they were making something up because they never talked to me.
Do you still stand by the assertion that the column is fake news?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a term that people use these days. And here's one of the problems I see is that people are not reporting the entire picture. And I think that's where the media is getting themselves in trouble, is they're not saying, okay, well, we're going to do the research and we're going to do a complete story. Whether it's the president or if it's me, it doesn't really matter.
Why did the hearing initially get postponed? It was at the last minute, and I think that's probably what led to some of the speculation.
As I recall, it was on a Monday. That'll happen on a Monday because we have caucus meetings in the mornings before we go onto the floor. Members in our caucus had questions on that particular bill. We chose in the caucus meeting to go forward, but as we got onto the floor, people kept coming up and saying, I have some issues with this bill. What can we do? I'd like to talk about it more, see what we can do to fix it. So at that point, I just had to make a judgment call, and I decided to postpone.
What do you hope becomes of this issue if it goes to court, or do you hope it goes away on its own?
Well, I think maybe it's time to define what real good journalism is, and why is it free speech on one side, or freedom of the press, if you will, and not free speech for somebody to rebut that? And that's kind of what's instigated this continuing brawl, if you will, is that I wrote a rebuttal so that, you know, my constituents could read it, and they refused to print it by saying, no, we have conditions on this. And I was like, you know, how can a newspaper have nothing but open space where they can do what they want, but as a citizen or a legislator, I don't have free speech to rebut it back in your newspaper. And that's very troubling to me.
Thanks, Senator Scott. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Glad to do it.
That was Assistant Senate Majority Leader Ray Scott of Grand Junction. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
A measure that would increase the penalty for tampering with oil and gas equipment is making its way through the Republican-controlled state Senate. As Benta Berkland reports, the bill has generated passionate debate.
Since it was first introduced, Senate Bill 35 has generated a lot of public interest. It has consistently been one of the top bills viewed on the state's legislative website.
If you put an entire community in danger, that shouldn't be a felony?
Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Sterling says it makes sense to increase the deterrent for messing with valves and oil and gas equipment, in this case up to 18 months in jail and a fine of up to $100,000.
This is nothing about peaceful protests. Chain yourself to the fence. I don't care. Stand there with the signs. I don't care.
These are people who are just looking to make sure that their property stays safe, that their bodies are safe. Where's the concern for them?
That's Denver resident Sabrina Seaver. She was one of the many members of the public to testify against the bill earlier this month. Seaver says she doesn't condone tampering with equipment or putting people in danger. Her concern is language in the bill that says a person could not attempt to alter, obstruct, interrupt, or interfere with any equipment associated with oil and gas drilling.
The bill is really on really vague wording where it would be possible for somebody to exercise their free right to assemble and their right to free speech and still be arrested and charged.
For instance, could someone stand on a public road and block it temporarily? Democratic Senator Daniel Kagan of Denver says if passed, people would be too afraid to do any type of protest.
By golly, you don't risk a felony conviction, being deprived of your gun rights, being deprived of your ability to rent an apartment, being deprived of your right to vote. For the rest of your life, you'll be a felon.
According to state figures, in the last 3 years, there was one recorded case of a person being convicted of tampering with oil and gas equipment. That's why Democratic Senator Rhonda Fields of Aurora says the bill is not necessary.
No one is tampering with these oil rigs. This is just not taking place in the state of Colorado.
But supporters say it's a national problem, citing the protests over the Dakota Access Pipeline, among other places. They argue it's important to be proactive. Tracy Bentley is with the Colorado Petroleum Council and supports the measure.
We've seen a significant increase in trespassers coming and taking the copper wiring found at many of our facilities, whether they sell the copper or whatnot. But any time you remove a piece of wiring, I think regardless of what it's made of, you're compromising the system.
And as oil and gas drilling continues to move closer to populated areas in Colorado, some lawmakers worry it could set the stage for more confrontations. The debate over fracking is already at a fever pitch, and Republican Senator Vicky Marble from Fort Collins says the increased penalty is overdue.
I mean, this is a terrorist act, basically, to me.
Republicans delayed the measure mid-debate to wait for updated information on the financial impacts to the state. The proposal is expected to pass in the Senate, but ultimately fail in the Democratic-controlled House. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.